Most discussions on cyber terrorism focus on the ability of terrorists to hack into sensitive computer systems and wreak havoc in any variety of ways. A new report, though, argues that more routine uses of the Internet by terrorists are just as dangerous. Gabriel Weimann is the author of the report titled www.terror.net, How Modern Terrorism Uses the Internet. It was published by the United States Institute for Peace, and Mr. Weimann joins us here in Studio 3A. Very nice of you to come in today.
Thank you.
What are some of the ways that terrorists are using the Internet?
Well, there are numerous ways in which they are using it. Let's start with psychological warfare, spreading fear, panic, threatening us. We can continue with recruiting people and experts, followers, sympathizers. We can discuss fundraising through the Internet and, of course, propaganda. All of these are used by modern terrorism, and when we say modern terrorism, more than one organization, actually all active terrorists today are using the Internet.
Now, you describe 30 different groups. Where did you get the list? I mean, they go everywhere from the Irish Republican Army to the Tamil Tigers of Sri Lanka.
Yeah, we should actually say today the real IRA, not the IRA, the classical one, which are active on the Internet right now. Well, first of all, there are numerous lists of terrorist organizations. The one we use is the State Department one. That is all the terrorist organization designated by the State Department as such.
Now, one of the things that we've heard about terrorists is that they use the Internet indeed as a method of internal communication, to send instructions to each other, that sort of thing.
Right, Neil. We should realize that today's terrorists are not the terrorists that we knew from the 70s or the 80s or even the 90s. These are not organizations in the way we knew them. It's not having a central line of command. It's not an administrative structure. What we have now is a loosely knit network of various groups linked together. Look at Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is not an organization. And if you have a loosely knit network like that, you need a channel of communication, and the Internet is the more efficient one, the most efficient channel of communication for such an organization.
Now, interestingly, you note that sometimes Al-Qaeda websites can last only a day or so.
I mean, yeah, sometimes hours, Neil.
They're such an ephemeral thing. First of all, how did you find them? And second of all, how do the people they're trying to communicate with them find them?
Yeah, well, we live there for 7 years now, so in this bad neighborhood, and we scan the Internet on an hourly basis. And when I say we, it's a large team of research assistants, fluent in many languages, and they know how to find them. But when you're right that they move very fast from one site to another, and we know how to find them simply by following their own guidelines. That is, they leave tracks. They try to get you to find them. They want the sympathizers, the followers, the readers to find them. So they will lead you if you know how, and if you listen in the right chat groups, as we do in the right forums, you will find the links to the new ones, to the new sites.
If you can do that, presumably the Central Intelligence Agency or MI5 or any a number of organizations around the world, Mossad, can do it as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they're doing it, which raises another issue. And this is how, looking at counterterrorism measures, we should ask the questions which we do in our study. What are the trade-offs for fighting terrorism on the Internet? Now, all of us are willing to sacrifice some of our civil liberties in order to minimize terrorism. But how many of our civil and how much of our civil liberties? If we speak about monitoring the Internet, which is being done, as you said recently, we don't really know that much about how it is done, who is doing it, and where is the information stored and how. We know that the Internet is monitored. We know that the traffic on the Internet is monitored. But do we know about the prices in terms of privacy, freedom of speech, and other liberties that are harassed in a way by fighting terrorism? So we may add to modern terrorism another price, and this is the price of our liberties.
But is there any way to suppress any of these websites? I'm not sure that even the technology exists.
Well, my research will, I hope, will end up with a book coming this summer, and the last chapter of the book, we look at some practical recommendations, and we really look at the golden path. What is the compromise, the ideal compromise between the two, fighting terrorism and protecting our democracies and our rights? We need to find a compromise. We need to find the best compromise. I'm not sure that the way things are being held now is the ideal way.
We're speaking with Gabriel Weimann, a senior fellow at the United States Institute for Peace and a professor of communications at Haifa University in Israel. He's the author of www.terror.net, How Modern Terrorism Uses the Internet. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. One of the things that you point out in your report is this sort of interesting... The Internet was, in a way, created as a tool to counter the monolith of the Soviet Union, and very effective in that regard. In a way, it is almost incredibly vulnerable, though, to this new threat of these diverse and dissolute, disorganized, almost, terror groups.
Right. It's a paradox. One of the paradoxes related to the Internet. Another one is that the fact that we expected the Internet to be a non-violent arena for exchange of messages, for conflicts, for debates. We actually expected that the more the Internet will be appealing to political organizations, the less violent they will be, because they have now access to huge audiences and in a speed which they never knew before. However, I must say that the findings are somewhat frustrating. Most of the terrorist organizations who use the Internet never abandoned the road of violence, though they combine the two.
How do they recruit online and spread anger, this propaganda?
Well, recruitment is one thing which is relatively easy on the Internet. They can use chat rooms and they can find and identify potential recruits. They never do recruitment on the Internet per se. They're very careful. They know about the risks they may suffer if they expose themselves by recruiting directly on the Internet. But they, I would say, identify, locate, profile those who can be candidates and then direct them through email and other methods in chat rooms and forums to other methods of more direct contact.
On the propaganda issue, it's interesting you contrast. They say these terrorist groups on their websites never take credit for their violent actions, never discuss it, with just two exceptions.
Yeah. Well, the Hamas and the Hezbollah. It's interesting that most terrorist organizations have a special rhetoric made for the Internet, as if they know that they are appealing to a more liberal, educated population. Targeting this kind of audience makes them use more, I would say, specific type of arguments. They highlight the issue of political prisoners, freedom of speech, the right of to have their own nation, and so on, which are only highlighted in the Internet, and they ignore totally, though most of them have a violent record, they ignore the violent part of their activities.
So
Hamas
they...
and Hezbollah are somewhat different, but we must realize that they very often use the Internet also to talk to their own people. So I have to add one notion, and this is the Internet is used by most terrorist organizations not only to address one target audience, but multiple target audiences. This is why some of them have 8 or 9 languages. If you compare the text in one language to another, you'll find that they use different methods, different rhetoric, different arguments.
Now let's get a call in. We have Stuart on the line from Rochester, Minnesota.
Hello.
Stuart, you're on the air.
Thank you. Question, why don't you spam their sites to death?
Stuart, if it was that easy, everybody would do it. You should realize that spamming one site doesn't solve the problem. They will move, and sometimes they move within an hour to another website, and they will notify all the followers to go there. So the idea of hacking into the website, spamming them, it is done, and it was done for many years. It doesn't make the problem go away.
Thank you. I'm honored, and I appreciate all your efforts.
Okay, Stuart, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
You argue that we need to, at the same time, be more aware of these sites. At the same time, we also have to protect their right to exist. What do you mean by that?
Well, you see, some of us, I'm coming from the communication perspective. I teach communication. I look at the Internet as a medium that has such a nice potential, such a promising potential to become a nonviolent arena for the exchange of ideas, of arguments, for debates, for nonviolent debates. Now, if we try to invade the Internet, we should be very careful, even if fighting terrorism, not to harass, not to abuse, and not to destroy this medium, which is such an important medium today. We may even consider that one of the prices we have to pay for living in a democratic, liberal society is the price of terrorism in the Internet.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you.
Gabriel Weimann is a senior fellow at the United States Institute for Peace, a professor of communication at Haifa University in Israel. His recently published report, www.terror.net, How Modern Terrorism Uses the Internet, is part of a 6-year study of how terrorists use the World Wide Web. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.